Awesome. Good morning. Good morning. Thank you all so much again for being here. In case you missed the welcome, my name is Alex, and I get to be part of the pastoral leadership team here at the Vine Church, as well as co-founder, along with my wife, for Hope Rising Ministries, who is partnering with the Vine and also with another ministry called Wait this weekend to bring you the Hope Tour and to do everything and be part of what God has seen or what God has done this weekend. And we're excited to be here today and just to be able to celebrate, because just as we sang, oh, how we have a reason to praise. Every day, every moment, no matter how we feel, we have a reason to praise. And that's what we need to remember. It's not always easy, because we may not always feel like praising in the moment, but I promise you, we have a reason to praise. And that's what I want us to talk about today. That's what I want to dive into. I'm thankful always to be able to share God's word and the message He's laid on my heart, but especially today on Father's Day, it just makes it that much more special. Being a father, having a great father and many father figures in my life, many great fathers here in this church and in our extended family. So I'm honored and thankful to be here. And again, happy Father's Day to all those who are here and watching us online as well. Today, what I want us to talk about is how we reach the other side of God's promise and how we step into that. And I want us to unpack what that looks like today. And it might surprise you a little bit, maybe it won't, as far as how we get to that point and what that looks like in our lives. We've been going through this series called Firm Foundation here at the Vine Church for the last few weeks, and it really lines up perfectly with what God has kind of brought together through the Hope Tour this weekend, and Pastor Tyler's been talking about and helping us to learn and understand how we live a life as Christians on solid ground, on a firm foundation, in a world that is ever-changing. From one day to the next, you don't know what the world's going to look like. You don't know what the circumstances you'll find yourself in. But we know as Christians, we always have solid ground when we stand on the words of Jesus Christ. And when He is our foundation, it doesn't matter what else is happening around us. As we talked about through this weekend, it doesn't matter how bad the storm is. We can always have a peace when Jesus is at the center of our lives. And that's what we love to preach here at the Vine. You see, because the world is full of uncertainty. You never know what's coming next. But with Jesus, you can always trust that He never changes, that He's steadfast and He's true one day to the next. You see, and for the Hope Tour this year, the theme has been the promise of hope. That's been the focus of what we've been sharing and preaching all weekend, and that's the focus that we want to live our lives in the midst of. It's the promise of hope. You see, a lot of people in this world, when they say hope, they don't think of hope as we know it as Christians, but they look at it as a wish. Because if you go around and you ask somebody, hey, what does hope mean to you? Or what do you have hope in? You might hear something like, well, I hope I get this new job I've applied for. I hope this person will talk to me. I hope that these people come to my party. I hope that I get invited to their party. You see, it's all about a wish. There's so much uncertainty, even in the hope that many in this world have. You see, it's not secure, it's not firm, it's not solid, it's not certain. But the two key phrases in the theme this year, the promise of hope or promise and hope. And for us as Christians, both are guaranteed. Both are certain. Both are solid. You can rest in both, because that's what a promise is, right? It's a guarantee that someone will do something. That if they promised it, they're going to do it. They're going to follow through. You see, as Christians, we have the promise that God gives us in His Son, in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And that in and of itself is our hope, that is steadfast and secure, that we can take and put roots in, because we know it will never change. See, there's certainty in a promise. And we can have the confidence because of our hope in Christ Jesus. And we've seen it. For those who have read Scripture, those who have been in church, You've seen God's faithfulness time and time again, from Genesis all the way through Revelation. You see God's faithfulness, His steadiness, and His promise. Today we're going to be spending most of our time in Joshua chapter 3. So if you want to jump there and kind of hang out there, that's where we're going to be spending our time and walking through this morning. And we're going to unpack, as I said, how we as individuals reach the other side of God's promise. How do we step into God's promise for our lives? What is God's promise for our life? What does that look like? And as we get there, I also want to point out some things that can try to hinder us and prevent us from stepping into God's promise. And so, in Joshua chapter 3, the nation of Israel is standing on the precipice of God's promise, the promised land that He promised to their ancestors, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And so they're there just on the edge. All they have to do is be obedient and step into it. And so that's where they find themselves. But before they get there, I want to catch you up and let you know how they got to this point. About 40 years before this moment in Joshua chapter 3, the nation of Israel was enslaved and in bondage in Egypt. In that time, God called a man named Moses to be the leader, to lead His people out of Egypt. We just sang about it. It's so crazy. Didn't tell the worship team that this was kind of where we were going. And God put the words on the screen for us to sing even before we started to discuss this morning. But God calls Moses to lead the people out of Egypt. Through Moses, God does some incredible miracles. And the Pharaoh of Egypt says, okay, yes, your people can go. Get out of here. However, as they are on their way out of Egypt, the Pharaoh changes his mind and he starts to pursue them. And so the Israelites find themselves again at a precipice, this time of the Red Sea. They couldn't cross it. And then behind them is the pursuit of the Egyptian army to recapture them. They have nowhere to go, no way to escape on their own. But God does another mighty work, and He parts the sea. The nation of Israel go through on dry ground. The army of Egypt is swallowed up in the sea. And Israel is free, again, from bondage and slavery, free to follow and serve their God. You see, and then God brings Moses and the people of Israel to the promised land, to the edge of it, right up to God's promise. And this is what happens. Let me read you this from Deuteronomy chapter 1. You can stay camped out where you are in Joshua 3. We should have the scripture up on the screen for you. So in Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 20, this is Moses talking to the Israelites. Then I said to you, you have reached the hill country of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. See, the Lord your God has given you the land. Go up and take possession of it, as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, told you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. You see, God brings the people of Israel to His promise. But He doesn't force them to step into it. But rather, He brings them to the promised land as He had foretold for generations. So they are right there. All they have to do is be obedient to where God leads them. And then in verse 22, it says, then all of you came to me and said, let us send men ahead to spy out the land for us and bring back a report about the route we are to take and the towns we will come to. The idea seemed good to me. So I selected 12 of you, one man from each tribe. You see, so the people of Israel, they're at the edge of the promised land. They have not stepped into it. And they come to Moses and they're like, okay, before we go in, let's send some spies ahead. Let's see what it's like. Let's check it out. Let's see what's there, where to go, kind of have an idea. Let's play it out and let's map it out. Most of us can probably say we've been there in our lives with some promise that God has called us to. You know why? Because the first thing that can stop us from stepping into God's promise is uncertainty. Uncertainty can cause us to hesitate, right? And so the people of Israel, they're like, hey, if we just know this path and the route and what it looks like, we know every step of the way, we'll be confident to step into God's promise. So Moses sounds like a good idea to him, so he agrees, and he picks 12 spies, one from each tribe, to be able to go into the promised land. It's not necessarily that it's a bad thing to kind of know what's ahead of you, right? We want to be prepared. We don't want to be foolish and just walk into anything. But uncertainty can allow us to hesitate and hold back from where God has called us to. And then in verse 25, it says, taking with them some of the fruit of the land, they brought it down to us and reported. And this is the spies who went into the land. They've come back to the people of Israel. And they say, it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us. Shocker, right? No. Because God said it was a good land. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. God had promised it to them. Why would we be surprised that they come back and they report that it is a good land that the Lord our God is giving us? And that's the key thing, right? Is that God is giving it to them. Not them going and taking it themselves. Not them going and doing this on their own, but rather it is something that God is giving them. But then let's see what happens in verse 26. It says, but you were unwilling to go up. You rebelled against the command of the Lord, your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, the Lord hates us. So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites, to destroy us. Where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. The cities are large with walls up to the sky. We even saw the Anakites there. Now the spies just came back and said that this land is good. And they brought back proof. But yet at the same time, not only did they see that this land was good, but they saw other people there, they saw cities, and they were afraid. The second thing that can hold us back from God's promise is fear. Because not only did these individual spies become afraid of what they saw, all but a couple, their fear spread to the people of Israel. And now the entire nation is afraid of what may happen and what may come. You see, it was the uncertainty of what was next. And now it's the fear because they know what was next. You see, sometimes we think, oh, if only I knew how it played out and what's ahead of me, I'll have the confidence to do it. But you see, with the knowledge of what was in front of them, it actually brought fear. But why did it bring fear? Let's look back at verse 28. It says, where can we go? Our brothers have made our hearts melt in fear. They say the people are stronger and taller than we are. You see, the people of Israel were not looking to God to be their provider, their deliverer, their source. They were looking to themselves. They started to compare everything around them with themselves. Every time we do that, we're probably going to pale in comparison. Because there's a lot of mighty and great things in this world that we just can't stand up to. But when we compare those things to our God, nothing matches His mighty and His power. You see, when our confidence is just in ourselves, it leads to nothing. Because we cannot be confident in someone who changes their feelings from one minute to the next. We sang about it, right? That it doesn't matter how we feel, we always have a reason to praise. It doesn't matter how we feel, and if we're afraid, we can always trust that God will lead us wherever He calls us to, and He'll be there with us. You see, because what happens then is they begin to doubt God's faithfulness, and that's the third thing that can keep us from God's promise. The uncertainty of not knowing how it plays out. the fear once we do know how it plays out, or the questioning of what may happen, and then the doubts that God is faithful through it all. You see this, and it blows my mind, but yeah, I can look at my own life and I've done the same thing. It blows my mind that this same group of people saw God perform many miracles in Egypt to set them free. And then when the enemy tried to pursue them, God performed another miracle and parted the sea to where the waters were standing on the side and they could walk through on dry ground. At that moment, why would you ever doubt that God could do anything? But why do we doubt that God can do anything today when we see his faithfulness throughout all of history? Because we're the same way when we allow uncertainty, fear, and doubt to lead our thinking instead of trusting in the faithfulness of who God is and what he has done. And so this generation, because of their fear and their doubt, they never step into the promised land. But rather, instead, they're made to wander around the desert and in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation died off. None of them ever got to step into God's promise that he had brought them to. Even Moses himself never got to step foot in it. And so that's where we pick up here in Joshua chapter 3. And that's the new generation that is now ready and standing on the precipice of God's promise to step into it and to be obedient to what God calls them to. Now, I want to give you these little points about Joshua. And if you were with us or watched the message a couple weeks ago, Pastor Tyler's actually talked about this a little bit. But I want to refresh your memory. You see, Joshua is a type and shadow of who Jesus was to be. You see, and that doesn't mean that Joshua is a form of Jesus, but rather he's foretelling and foreshadowing of what Jesus would do when he was on this earth. Joshua's name is Yeshua, which actually means the Lord is salvation. Now, I just want you to keep those things in your mind as we're walking through what happens here in Joshua chapter 3 as he's leading the people of Israel. So if you're following along in your Bibles, or if you have the Bible app, you can join us there. Or if you just have a tablet or something, you want to go there. We'll be in Joshua chapter 3, and we're going to pick up at verse 1. We're going to walk through what God does for the people of Israel and how they step into God's promise. In verse 1, it says, "Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over." And I think it's important that we look at that it says they started early in the morning. They didn't hesitate. They didn't wait. They didn't say, "Hey, we'll see how the weather is later in the day." No, they were eager. They were ready to step into God's promise. So it says early in the morning they get up and they move out. And then in verse 2 it says, "After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God," aka God himself in his presence, "when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the Levitical priest carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it." Verse 4, "Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before." You see, they're saying, hey, when you see God move, follow him. When you see God go, follow him. Yes, you've never been this way. You don't know what is next. God does. You see, even though in that moment the people of Israel didn't know where to go or exactly what to do, they knew who to follow. Same goes for us. God's calling you to something. You're uncertain. You're a little hesitant. You're scared. You don't know what's next. This fear and this doubt starts to come over you. Follow God anyway. Wherever he goes, he will show you the way. Even if it's one step at a time, he will lead you as you follow him. When there's uncertainty of what's next, we can have certainty in God. We can have certainty in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that they will lead us the right way. And so it goes on in verse 5. It says, "Joshua told the people, 'Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you.' He's telling them, he's encouraging them. He's saying, hey, prepare your hearts, prepare your mind, get yourself ready because God is going to do something amazing. You see, Joshua has the confidence in God that he will come through and do what he promised. And he's trying to get the people to have that same mentality, that same level of confidence and faithfulness in God. And then it goes on in verse 6 and says, Joshua said to the priests, take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people. So they took it up and went ahead of them. And I love this part right here because God doesn't just call the people of Israel and sit back and he says, hey, you do this thing, you go through this river, and I'll just sit back and watch. No, God actually goes before them. God is there with them in the midst of it, and then he's there to follow them through as well, to make sure that they are okay. And he does the same for us. He doesn't just call us to do something and then sit back and hope that we accomplish it, but rather he's there every step of the way, encouraging, protecting, guiding, leading, and directing us. In verse 7, it says, and the Lord said to Joshua, today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they may know that I am with you, as I was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of the Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river. Now, right here, one thing I want to point out is, and we're going to learn about this here in just a few verses, is that the Jordan River at this point is at flood stage. So you're not just going to walk across this thing. You're probably not going to swim across this thing without getting swept downstream. You're never going to make it on your own. And so Joshua is instructing these priests to, hey, go stand in that river that will surely wash you away. Do you think some uncertainty, maybe some fear and some doubt started to creep into their minds? But yet, let's watch what happens as they are obedient and trust God in that. In verse 9, it says, Joshua said to the Israelites, come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will certainly drive out before you the Canaanites, Hittites, Hivites, Perizzites, Girgashites, Amorites, and Jebusites. See the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth. Listen to this. Will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Not after you, not waiting to see if you make it, but he will be there ahead of you. He will lead the way. And verse 12 says, now then choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priest who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap. You see, as Joshua is instructing the nation of Israel that these things would happen, you got to think that maybe some from this generation are reminded of what God did in the Red Sea. Maybe stories that they heard of God's faithfulness and his power to part the sea. So maybe they're starting to build this confidence in, hey, God's done this before. I know he'll do it again. See, that's how our lives should be. We should be sharing what God has done through us and in our lives so that others can have that same confidence that, you know what, I've heard this. God has set someone free from this before. God has allowed someone to step into this new territory before. And he's been faithful to them, so I believe that he will be faithful to me as well. Then it goes on. In verse 14, so when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priest carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of them. Again, there it is, going ahead of them. God is going before them. He'll go before us. In verse 15, now the Jordan is at flood stage all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priest who carried the Ark reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge, the water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, where the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off. Get this. So the people crossed over opposite Jericho. The priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stopped in the middle of the Jordan and stood on dry ground, while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. I think there's something important, and there's a reason that dry ground is referenced there twice in practically the same sentence. And it's because it wasn't damp ground. It wasn't a little wet ground, right? Because that could have been something that, oh, you know, there was a dam built upstream, but the ground was still wet from the water that was just flowing through there. No, it was dry ground. Something that only God could do. Something that when your feet touched it, it could give you the confidence in who God is and His power. And then it says that the priests are standing there with the ark of the Lord in the middle of the river until everyone passes by, until everyone reaches the other side. Because God went before them, He was there in the midst, and He follows them through to the other side. You see, the people of Israel could have never stepped into that promised land on their own, because they would have tried to cross and they would have been swept downstream. You see, I told you about Joshua being a type and shadow of who Jesus is, and that he kind of is foretelling and foreshadowing of what Jesus would do when he was here on the earth. You see, Jesus led his people into God's promise, which is hope in eternity and salvation in Christ Himself. You see, the nation of Israel, as they were standing on the opposite side of the promised land, they were separated by a river that they couldn't cross. There was no way for them to reach the other side until God intervened and made a way. And then they could step into God's promise. You see, as humans and as individuals, we're born into sin. We are separated from birth from God because of sin, with no way to cross that river that is in front of us to get to God's promise without God intervening, stepping in, and making a way. And His way, or His name, is Jesus, who tells us and teaches us that He is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way that we reach the promise that God has for us. He is truth, unchanging. He is steady. And we can put our hope and our faith in Him. And He is life, the only life that truly matters. You see, we have this temporary life on this side of eternity, but there is an eternity waiting for us. And the only way to experience life is through Jesus Christ. And as I was reading this and I started to kind of picture Jesus and what's happening here with the Israelites and what happens in our lives, hopefully I'm not stretching this too far, that it's not really what God intended, but I do believe that there's an illustration here that we can use and we can see. Because if you look back at verse 16, it says, "The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan, while the water flowing down to the Sea of Arabah, that is the Dead Sea, was completely cut off." You see, I said that we are a people separated from God because of sin. Sin entered this world through one man. His name is Adam. And that sin flowed down to all generations. Each and every one of us. Unassisted, untouched by God's help, that sin washes down to death. That's where it leads. And we see that the river stopped in a place called Adam, that was flowing down to the Dead Sea so that the people of Israel could cross into God's promise. You see, we are separated from God, but we get to cross into God's promise through Jesus Christ, who made a way. You see, we get to walk through what sin separated. We get to step into that promise, into the life and the hope and the eternity that we have in Jesus Christ. that God allows for each and every one of us. You see, as a Christian, you don't become a Christian on your own. You don't earn it. You don't have this goodwill or good intention to, hey, I want to be a Christian. This is what I'm going to do. No. You only become a Christian because God opens your ears to hear His voice and His call. Opens your eyes to be able to see the beauty that is Jesus. And opens your heart to receive and believe that He is who He said He is. That He did what He said He did. And that He rose in victory over both sin and death. You see, without God intervening through Jesus Christ, we're all destined for death. But we can step into a promise that leads to life eternally through Jesus Christ. So if you're here today and you don't have confidence that you have an eternity ahead of you with Jesus, I'm praying right now that God is moving in your heart. Maybe your heart feels like it's about to beat out of your chest. You're watching online and you're kind of starting to sweat. You're feeling uncomfortable. You're like, I don't understand what this is. It's the Holy Spirit working in your life, trying to get you to wake up to see the beauty and the promise and the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. You see, the promise of hope is what we've been sharing and focusing on all weekend. And that's what I want each and every one of us to walk out of here with, is a promise of hope that Jesus loves you, that Jesus died for you, and that Jesus rose that you may have life in Him for eternity. You don't have to earn it. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to be good enough. He's already done it. He's paid the price. You just have to have faith in Him, in Him alone. So if you're here today or you're watching online, I'm going to give you an opportunity. If God is moving in your heart to put your faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to do that today. There's no better opportunity. There's no better time. There's no better moment than today to do this. To believe in Christ for your salvation. To have a promise of hope that will never fail, that will never fade, that will never change, that will be steady and will be with you, that you can have as a firm foundation for your life, no matter the storms that are raging around you. And also, if you're here today and you would call yourself a Christian, you say you've put your faith in Jesus, but maybe you've allowed uncertainty, maybe you've allowed some fear and doubt to start to creep into your mind, to hold you back from a promise that God is calling you to. Maybe that's a career change, maybe that's a city change to move somewhere else. Maybe that's to step into ministry. Maybe that's to step into a volunteer position. Whatever that may be, I want to encourage you that you too can have certainty in the promise that God has called you to, that He will not only call you to it, but He will go before you, be with you in the midst, and follow you out. So if that's you, I want to ask everybody here and to bow your heads. I want to ask everybody here to close your eyes. And if that's you in any of those situations, those circumstances you find yourself in, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. First, I'm going to pray for those who have never put your faith in Jesus, but you know without a shadow of a doubt. There is no question. There is no hesitation. You are ready to be obedient and to step in to God's promise. And that is the promise of hope that you have in Jesus Christ for all eternity. If that's you, I want you to pray this prayer with me. It's not the words that save you. It's not some magic formula. It's the faith you have in your heart that Jesus is who He says He is. He's done what He says He's done. We're going to pray together out loud for the benefit of those who are coming to faith for the very first time. Again, I want you to understand it's not the words. It's the faith in your heart that Jesus is who He says He is. So if that's you and you want to put your faith in Christ for the first time, or you want to reaffirm your faith in Jesus, pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I am a sinner separated from You. Forgive me of my sin. Help me to turn from my way to follow you. I believe you lived the perfect life. I believe you died my death on the cross. I believe you rose in victory over both sin and death. Help me to follow you the rest of my life the best way I know how. If you're in the house with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're in the house today or you're watching online, I'm going to count to three. And when I do this, I just want you to respond. If you're in the house, I just want you to raise your hand. If you're watching online, I want you to leave a comment, send us an email, whatever you have to do to get in touch with us. Not because we want to call you out, but because we want to celebrate. We want to encourage you. We want to walk with you through this incredible life change that just happened for you. So if you're in the house, just raise your hand when I count to three. If you're online, send us an email. Reach out to us. You can email us at hello@thevine.tv. 1, 2, 3. If that's you, just respond. Just lift your hand or send us an email, send us a message, leave us a comment, because we want to celebrate with you. We want to encourage you and walk with you through this. Now, if you're in this house or you're listening to my voice online, and you're one of those who you say, my faith is in Jesus, but I've let some uncertainty, some doubt, and fear start to hinder me from being obedient, from stepping into this promise that God has called me to, I want to pray for you now. Lord Jesus, for each and every one who is here, those who are listening online, myself included, sometimes we can allow our feelings to lead us instead of our trust in who you are. Lord, we can allow uncertainty to hold us back because we don't know what step 4, 5, and 6 look like. But sometimes you only show us step 1. I just pray that you would give us the confidence and the faith and the obedience to step into your promise, to follow you wherever you lead us, to know that, hey, we may be uncertain about this path, but we can have certainty in who we follow, and that is you. Lord, I pray for the encouragement. I pray for confidence in you, for those who are listening, that we can follow you wherever you lead us. Lord, push back the fear, the doubts, the uncertainty, whatever it is, whatever walls are separating us or trying to hinder us. Help us not to look at our own ability or our own strength, but to trust in you and who you are. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. Please be with us as we continue to worship, and help us to celebrate the hope that we have in Christ Jesus and the promise of hope that we get to carry with us every single day. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Stand up and worship with us, please. Awesome. I just want to thank you again so much for joining us today on this Father's Day. Want to say also, come see my wife in the green dress back over here. Pastor T actually has a gift for all the fathers here today, so come see her. She'll be able to give you that, and that is from Pastor T himself. So thank you for that, Pastor T. We appreciate it. We thank you. We celebrate you, fathers, for joining us today. Thank you, God, that you allow us to be able to do this each and every week. We have this opportunity to come into your presence that is a blessing to us. I thank you so much for that, Lord. And I just pray that as you go today, that you can carry the promise of hope, that you know no matter what circumstances are around you, you can celebrate and you can proclaim the goodness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and you can stand on firm foundation. Lord Jesus, be with us as we leave today. Guide us, lead us, and direct us in all that we do, that it brings glory and honor to you. We thank you, we love you, we honor and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless. Have a great week.